Can I tell you a story? There was a woman walking home from her 12-hour shift at a restaurant in Bangkok, Thailand, and she went into a Buddhist temple, and she asked the monk, she said, "Why am I overcome with sadness?" See, all day long, she served laughing tourists, while joy was as foreign to her as those vacationers that she served. And the monk said, "Well, this is a result of your bad choices. You have to outweigh these and overcome these with good and beneficial acts." She experienced the culture of religious burden. You want to hear another story? Soft yes, okay. The young girl was new to school. She was looking for a table in the cafeteria, and those 10-foot tables may as well have been a mile long as she waded through a sea of unwelcoming faces. She finally found a table of girls her age, and she said, "Can I sit here?" And after a fit of laughter and whispering, the self-appointed cool crowd told her that to sit at their table, you had to have stylish clothes and wealthy parents. She experienced the culture of bullies. One last story? Yes, a slightly more enthusiastic yes. Okay, there was a middle-aged man, not here, in Portland, Oregon. He seemed like he had it all. A promising career with a healthy salary, a loving wife who championed him through addiction recovery, two little kids who on Father's Day saw him as a hero. He had a spot in the neighborhood basketball league that reminded him of the church softball team years ago, before his job transfer and his sink into depression. But he was starting to come out of that and feel like himself after many lost years. And he sensed that in that time, God never left him, but he didn't know how to re-engage that relationship. If only he had paid attention in all those sermons, right? Well, he went to the local spiritual center, and the guru in residence said, "Bro, I'm your life Sherpa. What you got to do is send good vibes into the universe, brother. Let Mother Nature whisper your path into being." He experienced the culture of New Age spiritualism. One more story? I don't have one. But here's the thing. Culture can reflect and define our values. However, culture often warps those beliefs and drifts away from the original principle. And as followers of Jesus, we find that culture is at odds with Christ. Now, if you are the studious type and you like to take notes or fill in the blanks, these are your first blanks. Culture is at odds with Christ. Right? Culture says it's your bank account that determines your value and your future, right? But God says that he lovingly made you in your mother's womb and laid out all the days of your life. Culture says that God loves good people. But the Bible says that God showed how much he loved us while we were sinners. Culture judges your body composition, your education, your skin color, your social status, right? Culture judges outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Culture chews up and spits out the weak. But Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest." Culture says, "Elevate yourself, rep your brand, be an influencer, unashamed in self-promotion." But Jesus emptied himself, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on a cross. Culture is at odds with Christ. Okay, who else has been on this roller coaster of the Mavericks playoff journey? Right? So I wrote this a few days ago. I didn't know if we were still going to be in the finals at that point. But I'm a fan, so I believe we have a chance to make history. Come back from 3-0. Do you believe? Yeah. If you remember 20 years ago, 04 Red Sox, it can happen. It can happen. There's a chance. So this series, the NBA Finals, the series started with one of our star players, Kyrie Irving, seeming rattled by the atmosphere of, to true sports fans, what is only known as the Boston Garden. Mm-hmm, I heard one, yep. But it was understandable, right? I'll spare you the details. But between the behind-the-back ankle breaker Kyrie and Lucky the Leprechaun Celtics, there exists some bad corned beef. Kyrie arrived in Beantown with history and with a reputation. Not a good one. The Gospel of Mark tells us a story of a man who was well known in his community, and he had a reputation and not a good one. He wandered through the graveyard day and night, cutting himself and howling like a wild animal. He broke every chain his culture tried to wrap around him. And this madman's behavior was a result of demons who had taken up residence inside of him. But Jesus came to see him, and the demons recognized God when they saw Jesus. So Jesus told the demons, "Leave this man." So they did the only thing they can do, and they obeyed him. The next time the neighbors saw the madman, he was sane. But you know what happened? They feared this change that they couldn't explain. Right? This man didn't deserve to be saved. He had not earned love, because culture insists that we earn love and value, but Christ showed us God's love and our value on the cross. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Culture is at odds with Christ. Can you guys help me with something? Thank you. I know I give lots of reasons for it, but recently I received a text message in all capital letters. And I get it. I give reasons for that. But how do you interpret that? When you get a text or an email in all caps, right? Is the writer, are they angry? Are they loud? Is their caps lock just permanently mashed down? I don't know what to do with this. But today, we wrap up our series in Galatians, and we see Paul kind of summarize his entire message of the letter. And to begin the end, boy, he mashes the caps lock. He says, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand." He says, "Listen, I mean this." And then he ends the letter with finality. In verse 17, he says, "From now on, let no one cause me trouble." So sometimes this translation from the original language to us is a little stiff. He's saying, "I got bigger fish to fry." He says, "Let no one cause me trouble, right? For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." He says, "I have suffered for this. My scars speak louder than words, so listen, because I mean this." So what he says in between those two statements is really worth listening to. So let's pray and ask that we would hear God speak today through his word. God, we are so grateful for your word, that it was so true and applicable to the original readers, and it is true and alive and applicable for us today. We need it. God, would it be a light for our path? Would it redirect us in ways that we have gone astray? Would it capture a heart that it's foreign to And would it soften a heart that's grown hard to it? Please use me in spite of me, and would Jesus be lifted above all else? It's in his name we pray. Amen. So Paul's summary to the Galatians, really what it does, it shows a contrast between culture and Christ. We saw in the reading, there's a debate in Galatia about following rules, about following the law, in the practice of circumcision in particular. And now the law is a set of rules that's given that if you follow this, then you earn God's love, you earn his favor. But Jesus came and fulfilled the law. So now we have God's love, not through following rules, but through faith in Jesus. So the Galatian culture is at odds with Christ when they receive this letter. Look, we're going to see the contrast here. The false teachers in Galatia demanded the law was followed in order that they may not be persecuted. Contrast that with Jesus Christ, who was pierced for our transgressions, and with his wounds we are healed. The false teachers would force you to be circumcised. Contrast that with Christ, who will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. And today, if you are a faintly burning wick, if it just took everything you had to get here today, he will not quench it, but he will nurture it. And he will make sure that fire stays burning. The false teachers in Galatia don't even keep the law themselves, right? They practice do it as I say, not what I do. They didn't even fulfill, they didn't even keep the law, but Christ says, don't think that I've come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Culture is at odds with Christ. In his book, Family Driven Faith, Vodi Bakum says, a family without a commitment to the God of the Bible has no hope of stemming the tide of cultural onslaught. If we mix a little biblical truth, a little secular psychology, a little romantic novel ideology, and a little Eastern mysticism, we will get a deadly mixture of lies. Culture is at odds with Christ. So with his letter coming to an end and his hand worn out from writing such huge letters, Paul cuts to the chase. He says, neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision. He said these sideline issues that create more heat than they do light in the end do not have ultimate value. Right? These things that still today separate the church and cause division, these things that people take pride in knowing more about than others, these things that cause more harm than unity, in the end, they have no ultimate value. So what does? He goes on to say, neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. He says, changing from the inside out and becoming a new creation is the very heart of faith in Jesus. Right? This demon-possessed man that we saw, he was restrained by his culture with chains wrapped around him while his problem was internal. But Jesus changed him from the inside out. Culture wanted evidence. They wanted to see a difference in him, but Jesus changed his soul and made him a new creation. So the path to becoming a new creation is not found in culture, but it's found in Christ. 2 Corinthians says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Because we're made new by faith in Jesus. And yes, there's a part of you, the old self, that's weighed down by your past, that's saddled with shame, that hides because of mistakes, but that old self was buried in the dark grave with Jesus, and the new creation is brought out into the light as he rolls the stone away and gives you a new creation. Right? The false teachers in Galatia were trying to convince the church they had to earn value by following rules and submitting to circumcision. But Paul says, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life. Becoming a new creation isn't based on effort. It's in accepting what God has already done. Now, he may feel like our enemy right now, but he's a good guy. The Celtics head coach, Joe Mazzulla, he is a follower of Jesus, and he's open about his faith in interviews and press conferences. If you get a chance to watch or listen to them, it's really remarkable how he shares his faith openly. And he recently said this in an interview about, he said this about God's grace. He says, in the competitive environment that we're in, we're used to earning something. And when you apply that competitive nature to your faith, it creates a lot of anxiety and stress and even separation from Christ. So when I was able to really go down the road to grace and understanding that I can't earn it and I don't have to be competitive, it's not a win or loss, it's an acceptance. Becoming a new creation isn't based on effort. It's in accepting what God has already done. It's admitting that you can't do it on your own and accepting God's love and forgiveness that is already offered in Jesus. And you can do that today regardless of your past. And I don't just mean this long ago past. I mean like last night. God knows you. He sees you. And he loves you. And you can go to him and say, God, I need you. I have found repeatedly that my way brings death. And I accept that your way gives life. And I trust Jesus as my Savior. And when you do that, the result is that you become a new creation and peace and mercy be upon them. Because a new creation is no longer at odds. A new creation is at peace with God. A new creation no longer works for the praise and the approval of culture, but a new creation lives in God's mercy. The madman, he had his chains broken one final time by Jesus. He became a new creation, and the result is that he wanted to grow closer to his creator. Now, in the story, his culture begged Jesus to leave. They saw what he did, they couldn't explain it, so they begged him to leave. The changed man was made a new creation, and he asked to go with Jesus. So at the end of the story, who's crazy now? Jesus told the man, he says, no, go home to your family. Tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. He was given freedom and became a new creation, and he then boasted about what Christ had done. So we see now Paul's going to sign off his letter to the Galatians with the words of a new creation. He says, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. To boast in Christ is to hold him above all else, to not separate our life and our circumstances from the reality of who he is and what he's done. Boasting in Christ is living in the truth that he has overcome this world. Right? We boast in Christ because he gives life while this world is dying. We boast in Christ because he offers peace and mercy while our culture breeds chaos. We boast in Christ because he will restore what's been torn apart. We boast in Christ because he loves you, he suffered for you, and he makes you a new creation. And becoming a new creation is not based in effort, but in accepting what God has already done. And the result is that we walk in his peace and his mercy, boasting in Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your love and your grace and your forgiveness, and God, how we need it. And thank you that we don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it, God, but we can accept what you've already done for us. And God, I know I feel like I'm in a constant battle of not wanting to, but working against what you've done. And maybe that's a common experience in this life, so would you just help us to stop striving, to stop working, to accept what you've done, to walk in your peace and your mercy, and to boast that it is done in Christ, that it's finished, it is completed in him. Our trust can be in him. God, we recognize it is because of Christ we are alive. We thank you for that truth. We stand together now. We worship together, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.